hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We are in Key Largo. We're hanging out at the legendary Fish House. We had some food. We've had a cocktail. Just one or two right there, Neil?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. He's not counting. He lost count at two. Yeah, two. Anyway, it could be a very colorful hour, so stick around with us. We have Neil Watson and, of course, Captain Slate from Captain Slate's Atlantis Dive Center, and Hunter, his son Hunter. Hunter, you hanging in there or what?
Yeah, I'm hanging.
What are you drinking there? Iced tea, right?
Yeah.
Sure that's all it is?
Maybe.
Okay.
Actually, we just came for one. 1:30, quarter two is the latest.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, obviously, diving legends, Neil Watson, Captain Slate, this has been a very special show to have these two, literally diving legends here on the show today. But we have the curators from, and just the people that are running the show down there at the Diving Hall, or History of Museum.
Diving Museum.
History of Diving Museum. Debbie is with us. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Now, tell us a little bit more about the museum down there. First of all, where is it located exactly? Like, what mile marker are we talking about?
Oh, the History of Diving Museum is at mile marker 83 in Isla Mirada. So a little ways down the road here from Key Largo, but still within range of Key Largo and, you know, in and among all the good diving in the Florida Keys.
Yeah, so just a little south of us here. So if you're, like, doing some diving in Key Largo, maybe want to do the Spiegel Grove, head down, do the Vandenberg. It's a nice little stop on your surface interval is to experience some of the history that you guys have gathered and put into this nice little display of a lot of commercial diving, a lot of classic type of machinery that they used back in the day, stuff that Neil has in his garage, as he pointed out there earlier in the show. But what was the genesis of this whole project? Because it's a substantial collection of gear, isn't it?
We have over 3,500 square feet of diving exhibits dedicated to the history of diving going back about 4,000 years. And our collection was started by Drs. Joe and Sally Bauer, who were recreational divers and kind of fell into into collecting diving helmets. And now we have the world's largest collection of diving helmets in the world. Our collection is truly international. Joe and Sally traveled around the world amassing this extensive collection. Not even all of it is on display at our museum. There's, so our displays are always changing in and out. And the Bowers donated their collection to the History of Diving Museum to start this museum because they said, what are we going to do with all this stuff? So they made that donation. And
basically, it was like a yard sale. It started as a yard sale. They need to make some room and said, hey, we could do something with it. No, it was probably a little bit more than that, I'm guessing. But
I think Neil could have used one of those helmets when he smashed the bricks with his head.
Yeah, he could have. Oh, man. You did that before,
yeah,
that
really.
Record.
Yeah, well, that was over 4,000 years ago. So.
Yeah, yeah, you mentioned that. 4,000 years ago, you have dive gear from 4,000 years ago. I don't get it.
Well, dive gear from 4,000 years ago may have consisted of a stone that the sponge divers rode down, a stone and a rope that the sponge divers rode down to the bottom of the seafloor to go and do collecting sponges or collecting, whatever else.
Pearl,
all kinds of crazy stuff, whatever they saw there back in the day.
It was free diving in the beginning, and then the diving bell. shells, and then the evolution of the diving helmets through. We've got diving, ancient diving machines that you wouldn't even believe that people even tried.
Yeah. Well, it was the people like Neil. I mean, they were the pioneers that basically cut their teeth on all this preliminary stuff. That will never work. Well, let's put Neil in it and see if he lives, kind of deal, right? Is that how it worked, Neil?
No, actually, I built my first diving unit out of a Popular Mechanics. And it was the
out of the magazine.
Old, the magazine. It was a double hose. It was the mask with the two snorkels, and it had a hose going in one and a flutter valve out the other, and it had peach cans, and you pumped the thing. My brother was supposed to pump it, and you could only go about 5 feet. My brother would get tired, and I would go gasping to the surface. Right? this was like maybe 50. No, early, but no, 49.
Yeah.
50,
yeah. And they have those kind of things on display there at the museum, right?
When you're ready to get rid of that apparatus, I have a great home for it, Neil. Wouldn't that make a heck of a story?
Oh, it would. I mean, and you have some of this stuff in your garage.
But I'm still using it.
Oh, you're still using it. Yeah, he's cheap. You know, being in the dive industry for all these years, he's had to cut corners. And scrimp, you know, hey, if it works, why, you know, if it ain't broke, why fix it?
Don't fix it.
Yeah, exactly. So he's still working it.
We have a whole section in the museum on homemade diving helmets, and it's a whole display, and we've amassed these helmets that people have just made out of things that they've had around the home or in their home workshop, and it's just, you know.
What would be, like, the most unique thing? And I'm thinking, what would you, like, an aluminum garbage can or something, or what are you talking about?
Old kettles and things like that, and then maybe with some old steel irons attached to the front for weights and
just wacky stuff. Whatever they could put together, that's they were using what they had at the time to get down underwater and see what they could see. So, you know, these are kind of, you know, some of the things that you can see down there at the museum. And by the way, the website, let's get that out there for everyone as well.
Okay, if you want to check out more about the museum videos and pictures of our exhibits and hours and all of that, it's divingmuseum.org.
Okay, divingmuseum.org down there in Isla Mirada, Florida. It's hard to miss when you're cruising around US-1. Don't you have like some kind of commercial diver guy, kind of like that guy from Scooby-Doo with a... Don't you have a statue out there in front? It's a mural.
We have a mural by Guy Harvey and David Dunleavy, the largest environmental mural in the Florida Keys, on the side of the building. And on the north side of the building, there's Art McKee riding his famous anchor down to the bottom of the ocean. But we also have a big red sign that says Diving Museum, along with the one atmosphere diving suit on that. And that's what I think you're thinking
of. That's what it is, yes. Because, I remember seeing the one atmosphere suit, yeah, and that kind of thing hanging out there. Now, all the stuff that you've collected, you say not all of it's on display, and you rotate it in and out, and maybe for the seasons or just freshening things up here and there. Now, your partner in crime over here, she's the collector. Is that the deal?
Erin is our collections manager. So Erin oversees the collection and makes sure that the things we have kind of all mesh together. She handles our donations and our memberships. And
Erin, tell me about the membership donations, but does that involve actually saying, okay, this thing Neil has, we might want to get our hands on that. Is that your position as well?
It's kind of a group decision, which is nice. We kind of all come together and think about, you know, how can we use these, you know, objects and artifacts that are out there that people have, and put those on display and interpret them to help us tell the story that we're trying to tell.
Right. Now, I can give you a great suggestion, okay, just as an outsider for the diving museum. Captain Slate, I've been out diving with him several times throughout the 13-year history of Scuba Radio. You know, I don't know, do you still have that box of masks and snorkels and things that you show people for just a conversation piece when we're going out to the dive site for the creature feature?
You mean the ones that have been chewed off my face?
Exactly.
Yes.
Now, see, I think that is a box of history that should be preserved for all to see, don't you think?
Yes, that would be fun. I have multiple dead masks from instant contact with a barracuda's mouth.
Yeah, what do you think about that, Aaron? Is that the kind of equipment that might have an interesting little twist to showcase at the Diving History Museum?
Oh, sure. I think that those kinds of things, those personal kind of connections, are what make the stories so unique. And that's what we're interested in.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing to see stuff that Slade actually had on his face and see it's been shredded, and that he can still function as we speak today.
Well, I'm just sitting here thinking about this, and now Neil and I are in museums, and we're so young. I don't.
You've had your picture in the post office before, right?
Post office.
Yeah, and Neil's. You have that in common. Why not a museum? I think that's only appropriate.
We're in our 40s, Neil. I mean,
in our 40s, exactly.
Yes.
More coming up from Key Largo. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Dive into one of the greatest adventures of your life. Become a real treasure hunter. Spend a week diving one of the richest Spanish galleons ever to be lost at sea with the world's greatest treasure hunters. And take home up to $2,500 worth of treasure. For the first time ever, the public is invited to dive the most famous shipwreck in history, Mel Fisher's Atocha. You'll go behind the scenes on a working salvage boat, recovering treasure and artifacts that are almost 400 years old. You'll learn firsthand all about treasure hunting and historic shipwreck conservation. You'll see the charts and Atocha's treasure manifest. Working alongside Mel Fisher's dive team, you'll have the chance to find your very own piece of history and take home authentic artifacts worth up to $2,500. Trips are limited to 6 weeks each summer, so book your trip today. Call 305-294-5441 or go to melfisher.com. Today's the day.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why for the second year in a row, we have made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. We're doing 4 weeks on board ourselves this year, and you're welcome to join us on any of these special adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg, the Dive Master, hanging out in Key Largo with Captain Slate, Neil Watson, the folks from the History of Diving Museum down there in Isla Mirada. And we're going to talk to those folks in just a bit more about some of the programs they offer month to month, besides just going in and looking at all this cool classic dive gear. But Neil, we already talked about that box of shredded masks that Captain Slate has from his creature feature from over the years. You have something else that ought to be maybe donated?
You know what? I can't believe Slate hasn't talked about this. But one of my heroes was a guy named Jacques Méol, which they did a movie, a classic, The Big Blue. And in the 60s, I was actually training for the free dive record at the same time Jacques Méol was, and then got obsessed with the air record. And Jacques Méol broke the record, and Slate, in his backyard or in his garage or something, and it should be on display, has the sled that Jacques Méol broke the record with.
Really? So that's a free diving sled?
Yeah, his son, J.J. Mayo, about 10 years ago, came to the Keys to do the apnea, teach apnea breathing that his dad taught him at my store. And he did it for two years, where people come down and watching this, his son of Jacques Mayo, go underwater and just, not so much depth, but time underwater snorkeling was pretty phenomenal. And he did it through yoga and mind-altering.
Substances.
What? Wait a minute. I digress to Neil. Oh, Neil. I'm sorry. I'm thinking Neil now. But anyway. but anyway, JJ gave me this thing, his son, and said, just keep it. And then the last summer he was there, he didn't want to carry it around. He said, it's yours. And he gave me his dad's Cressy fins.
Wow. So, yeah, you have some.
I got to get them down there.
Yeah. So do you have your own little private stash of, museum-type dive artifacts, you think?
I didn't know Jacques. He knew, Neil knew him personally. I knew his son well. So that's yes.
Yes.
Neil knew Jacques Cousteau well. I knew his son.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, Jacques Mayol. Mayol is what we're talking about, right?
That was it.
Yes, exactly. But you knew Jean-Michel Cousteau as well. You know the Cousteau.
Jean-Michel was a very good friend. And Jacques was a friend, certainly not as close as Jean-Michel. I knew Philippe. I knew the whole
He knows everybody. Neil knows everybody. And, you know, when you go into Neil's house, you see some of the pictures. And Hilsa had a lot to do with this a few years ago when she did a little makeover of the Watson Weston. She put up some amazing photos.
Big makeover. I had a history of diving in my garage rotting away, and I took a trip to China for like 4 days and came back, and she had taken all of these photos out, framed them, and hung them. Actually, there's a great picture of Jacques Mayol and me in the den that was done in Freeport. He was over doing some stuff with dolphins and stuff. He was a very dear friend and real gentleman.
Yeah, well, it was nice. There's one picture in particular. I was actually telling CJ about it today because, CJ, look at him right now. You know, he wants to pinch himself. He can't believe he's hanging out with Neil Watson, the dive god, and Captain Slate. Yes. Did we mention how modest Neil is? But it doesn't matter. But the thing is what's so cool about it is that I was telling him the story about one of the photos on your wall that Hilsa had framed, the one with the tiger shark, and you like just hold it like you're, it's like
incredible.
A dance.
It was a slide that Rick Fracy, which is one of the most famous underwater photographers, photojournalists in the world, had taken on an expedition that we were doing, a movie shoot. And I didn't know this existed, and she found it in a box in the garage or whatever and thought it was really cool, had it blown up poster size and framed, and it is truly my absolutely favorite photograph. I mean, it is, like, so cool.
Well, it is. It's phenomenal. Neil's sitting there. You're free diving, I think, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And literally, it's like you're holding on to the front dorsal fin.
Flash Gordon.
But he looks like he's just holding on to the front of a,
belly
to belly.
I had a tiger by the tail, actually. I was afraid to let him go, man.
I was
drowning.
I mean, when you look at that photo, I'm guessing it was what, from the 70s, maybe?
Late 70s, yeah.
And you look at that, and it's like this tiger shark's probably 12, 15 feet long, and you're literally almost face-to-face with it. What was going on? What were you doing with this photo, or during this photo?
Well, it was for a photo shoot for something, and I got myself in a situation I didn't know how to get away from it, I think. It was like, now I got it, what?
Yeah, now I got a hold of him, and now what do I do?
I got a tiger by the tail. What do we do?
You take the picture.
Yeah, right.
I got to prove it. But yeah, you would look at it like, surely that's been photoshopped or something, but it's the real deal from back in the day.
That was the real deal.
It was before people knew better.
Yeah, that's right.
Or was that right?
It seemed like a good idea.
Was that right after the concrete break?
It was right. It's all a blur.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it's an amazing photo. We're going to have to get that.
I was narked. I had a concussion from the concrete break. You know, I was anoxia from the gyrocopter. I mean, it was a bad period in my life.
Yes, yeah, but at least we got it on film.
Yes.
And all for the world to enjoy. That kind of photo, you see stuff like that, and you think, surely that needs to be in a museum and preserved in Hilsa. was smart enough to capture that and frame it accordingly so folks like me could experience some of that little history with Neil. And it's truly an amazing thing. Now, the museum, you guys obviously have the exhibits and artifacts and things, and maybe we'll bring some new ideas for exhibits here in the coming coming days. But what about these, what are the monthly, what do you call them, speaker sessions?
We have a monthly program that's sponsored by the Monroe County Tourism Development Council, and we do an educational program each month. It's a free program on the third Wednesday night, and we have different speakers from the world of diving every month.
A little Q&A kind of thing, huh?
Well, we usually have Q&A after. There's usually a short, maybe a 50-minute presentation followed by some Q&A, but we've had some really interesting speakers over the years. I think this is about our third year of doing this, and somebody like Neil would make,
he'd fill up 6 months easy.
Exactly. I mean, I talk to people like this, and I'm like, these are stories that people need to hear. And these are, the exhibits that we want to get into the museum to tell, because these personal stories, of man's quest to explore under the sea, that's what we're about. That's what we want to share with people. And you don't have to be a diver to appreciate the bravery and the technology and, all the
fact that they're just plain nuts.
I wasn't going to say that.
Well, let's be real. I mean, that's kind of what our show is built on, is the twisted individuals that this sport seems to attract. But that's what brings us together, don't you think, Captain Slate?
I do, and I was laughing earlier about Neil and I are in diving museums, but you can be the judge of this question. Do you think that the diving museum and the America's Most Wanted museum could only be like one lucky night the cops didn't find us?
That's right. You probably put that show off the air on one little visit when you bring all these characters together. It's a colorful group indeed, and it's what our goofy little radio show is built on as well. More coming up from Key Largo. Stay close. Sitting here next to Neil Watson, Captain Slade, is a treat in itself for me. I started this show as an excuse to go diving on company time, and little did I know at the time that I'd meet such cool people and be able to hang and call them friends. I mean, I remember one time at Ocean Fest, probably 10 years ago, when Jean-Michel Cousteau, after I'd met him a time or two, he came over and says, "Hey, Greg, how you doing?" Now I know that it was because I had pissed him off, and that's why he remembered me. But we, you get to know people doing this goofy little radio show, and yeah, it is an honor.
A great Jean-Michel story, like maybe 6-8 months ago. And I'm laying in bed reading or doing something, and Hills is watching television, and I get a phone call. And there's some guy on the other line, and he's trying to fake a British accent. And do you know who this is? And I'm thinking, dude, I don't know who it is. It's like 10 o'clock at night. If it's somebody I know, talk to me. And he said, "Neil, it's Jean-Michel. I'm here with John Englander, and we were talking about you, and da da da." And I never called him Jean-Michel. I call him JM. And I said, "JM, man, how you doing, man? This is what's happening." And he says, "Well, how's your Brazilian?" And I said, "She's fantastic. She's right here. Here, talk to her." So I handed her the phone, and she's like, "Hey, how you doing?" And they're talking, and they're talking, and talking. About 3 or 4 minutes into the conversation, she says, "Well, are you in the diving industry too?" There's like this pause, and then he says, "Well, I'm trying to get into it." Blah 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 blah. So she hands the phone back, and I said, "GM, when you're down here, we got to get in for a drink. I haven't seen you forever, and say hi to John, and I'll talk to you later." And hung up. And she says, "And the Gustos are like gods in Brazil, right?" And she said, "Who was that?" And I said, "It was Jean-Michel Gusteau." She says, "What? You call him back right now. She's going to think I'm a bimbo. You call him back." It was like
beautiful. Yes, that is amazing. See, these are the kind of little tidbits, the little beautiful nuggets you get on the Scoopy Little Radio Show we do every once in a while. More coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Why don't you tell Stanley that I have asthma? Because I don't. If it gets out, they won't let me scuba. If I can't scuba, then what's this all been about? What am I working toward?
Take it on.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's why we do this radio show. I'm hanging here literally sandwiched between Neil Watson and Captain Slate, and I'm in the Keys.
Okay, bend over.
No, I haven't switched teams. Don't worry. It's all good.
Thank you, Greg.
Yeah. But, you know, we're reminiscing. They're sharing some of their fish tales with some other diving legends. We've been talking about Jean-Michel Cousteau and how Hill's going to talk to him, the son of Jacques Cousteau, on the phone. And he said he was trying to break into the dive industry when she talked to him. Didn't realize who she was talking to. That was kind of funny. I remember when I first started Scuba Radio, and I went out diving with Captain Slade on one of his boats. And it was one of the first times I had the opportunity to set up there, by the wheel. And we're shooting the, you know, stuff.
The breeze.
Yes, the breeze. Right. And I'm telling them that, yeah, I do this little radio show, and I've had the opportunity to meet some pretty cool people like Jean-Michel Cousteau. And I said, have you hung with him? He goes, yeah. And I goes, well, I'm supposed to interview him next week. What can you tell me about Jean-Michel Cousteau? And he goes, well, he's French. That was pretty much all Captain Slade had to say. But from there, and he said a lot, but it was all good. But
yep.
Captain Slade, I want to talk to you about a little bit more about the creature feature. Now, while we get some pose for some photo ops here,
right.
Here at the Fish House. But the creature feature, you've been doing this for how many years now?
I came 78. I started feeding the creature feature right in 1978, in December of 78.
And what happened was you had learned this technique to put ballyhoo in your mouth and feed these barracudas down here in Key Largo from, what was the guy's name?
Steve Clem. He was a neat guy that ran a boat out of our marina whenever I came here, and he'd been taking divers out on the reef in his little Mary Metro boat since, I'm going to say, the late 50s when he got out of the Army. He came down here and started doing the dive tours.
Now, was he just as popular as you've become over the years back in the day, or was it, you know, was this kind of a little bit before it kind of caught on in the dive world type of thing?
He was absolutely a legend. There are more, since Skin Diver started in the 50s, more pictures of him on the cover of Skin Diver than any of us.
Really?
No, really. He's got in his old dive shop, which he's been gone about 20 years, is not dead, but moved out. He lives in Homestead. But he had more wallpaper of his photos and his Skin Diver covers than any of us.
So how does he feel about this? Does he kind of look at it like, oh my God, I've created a monster type of deal, or what?
Well, when he came here, he and I immediately hooked up and became best friends. And I went out with him on his boat and watched him do this the first time. And I went, oh, I love this. Not just the idea of what we were doing was odd, but the fact that we were introducing people, divers, to these creatures that people think are hazardous marine animals. Of course, they can be no more than traffic out in front of the marina here. But I went out and was mesmerized by what he did, and never thinking I was going to do that to millions of people. But he's told me that first winter, he says, arthritis has bothered me. He was his late 60s, and he said, you need to take this over, Slate. You need to start doing this. And literally, I did. And he taught me. And, of course, every time I was stitched up or had a I had a bandage on my hand. He thought that was so funny. I wanted to see him out in the parking lot. He goes, are you learning anything? I said, just a little bit. But the difference was he always had a ballyhoo on a dowel rod, about an 8-inch dowel rod.
Right.
A little stick.
Yeah.
And he put, which made a lot more sense than what I do. And he put the ballyhoo on the end of that so that the barracuda.
A little safety zone,
exactly.
A little bit more safety factor.
Which made all the sense in the world, and I started doing that originally, but being ADHD, I never remembered to bring the dowel rod, and I thought, oh, what the heck? I'll just take my regular dowel and stick the fish in my mouth, and that's how it started.
I got you. Okay, so you kind of pushed the envelope a little bit. You paid, paid your dues for that little incident over the years. But there is a method to the madness. You don't encourage people to do this at home, but it does show these animals in a different light, where they can actually see them up close and see them interact with you in a way that most people never on this earth would think was possible. Right.
Well, I liken it to the current neat deal right now. It's all over the internet. The guy that saved the crocodile down, I think, in South America, someone shot it when it was a very young crocodile, and now this crocodile, he raised this crocodile, he took care of it. I don't know if you've seen this on...
I'm not sure.
Oh, you got to see this. It's a tourist attraction, and this crocodile is now 2,000 pounds, 17 feet long. He gets in the canal with it. It calls him, and he comes up out of the water. He gets it and plays and swims and wrestles with his crocodile.
Interesting. Well, it just goes to show that there's so much we don't know about these animals, the way they think and the way they can behave and the way they can interact with humans and stuff, that hopefully you see them as more than just animals, and that they need protected, and we need to look out for them a little bit more, right?
Well, that was one of the main reasons that I was so eager to get on the National Marine Sanctuary Planning Council in 1991 when we were setting aside protected areas out here where no one could fish or spearfish or whatever. So this is where I am on this one site. Although fish do swim in and out and they get hooks in them occasionally, but every time I go out on the feed, every twice a week, I am upset if all my little animals don't show up, and they all don't. It's the ocean. But I always, I wonder where that one is or this one is, or my eel's not there today. And I can't wait to go back in 2 or 3 days later to make sure she's okay or that the fish is there. And unfortunately, some of them have been hooked and lost. I have a wall full of hooks I've taken out of our sharks, and they come up. And I've even reached inside a moray eel's mouth with my bare hands and got a hook out of it, and it didn't bite me. It knew I was trying to help it. I was holding it in my arms.
Yeah, well, not anybody could do this with Cam Slate working with these animals for years and years. They've learned to trust them, and you've connected with them in a way that is truly unique for sure, and quite an amazing thing to see that every diver, whether you're into that type of diving or not, you really ought to see it, because it is truly a special thing to witness firsthand. CaptainSlate.com, go there, and you're doing this every, what, Friday and...
Sunday morning.
Friday afternoons or Friday morning?
No, it's odd, but if you, the afternoons, the animals feed themselves by that time, and that's their feeding pattern in the morning and at night, and they're usually gone in the afternoon out on their own.
Right. Yeah, you got to feed them when they're hungry, don't you?
Yes, you do. And we've learned over the years that it's just a morning dive.
Yeah. There you go. So Friday morning, Sunday mornings, Captain Slate's Creature Feature, CaptainSlate.com. Neil, have you been out there on the Creature Feature? How many times, you figure, over the years?
Not enough. I mean, I'm still amazed at it. It's just like, you know what? I mean, what Slate was saying, between what he does with the morays and with the stingrays and the barracudas and what we do with the sharks, you know, all of these encounters, they're exciting, they're adventurous, but they're really educational. You know, every person that comes up from one of these experiences has a new appreciation of these animals. And you know, they become allies and crusaders for saving these animals, particularly the sharks. You know, there's a lot of controversy about the interactive shark dives that we do in the Bahamas. And, you know, people make an issue of us going out and in the wild in their environment feeding these animals, yet 300,000 of these animals a day are being slaughtered for fins for soup.
Right.
I mean, there's the reality. I mean, yeah. Let's put things in perspective. And every person that comes up from one of these dives, whether it's Slate's dive or our dives, is a new crusader and ally for saving these animals.
And I am one of those. I mean, when I talk about doing these dives with these folks and seeing this stuff, it doesn't make me want to go feed them myself or put a ballyhoo in my mouth and do this. But I'll tell you what, to see that and see how these animals interact and the sharks and how they do this with the dive masters and stuff.
Feed you to the sharks?
Okay, that wouldn't be you. Wouldn't be the first person to say that. But to witness that and see it firsthand and just really, like I said earlier, it really shows you how little we know about how they think and how they behave. Because people 20 years ago, before you guys did the shark dives, before Slate did his thing, you would have never thought this was even remotely possible.
I tell people, I mean, 30 years ago, every person that went on one of my dive vacations, I had to promise them they would not see a shark. Today, I have to promise them they will see a shark. I mean, there's the difference, and that education is the greatest thing in the world for the preservation of these animals.
That's right. They don't have anything else looking out for them except us divers. And, you know, when you get into diving, you know, if you're listening to the show right now and you're not a diver and you're just hanging out thinking, man, these guys are having a good time, there must be something to this diving thing, you are correct. We are having a great time. But you think, oh, my God, they're diving with sharks? What are you, nuts? You're crazy? But once you get certified and you start talking to people that dive, you want to get those pictures of the sharks, and you're like, yeah, they're not going to eat you. They're just to hang out with you. Something you definitely want to mark off the list for sure.
Greg the Dive Master is sitting by the phone now, wishing it would ring, hoping that it's you on the other end of the line. Tug on his line now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Bula, that's the greeting you get from the smiling, generous Fijians who welcome you to Fiji. And while Fiji's friendly people, white sand beaches, rainforest, and waterfalls are a huge draw for any traveler, divers in the know consider Fiji the soft coral capital of the world. With direct regular flights from LAX on Air Pacific, it's never been easier to live your Fiji experience. Go to FijiMe.com to book dive packages from backpacker to five-star spa resorts. That's FijiMe.com.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
On the line with us is Neil Watson, the depth and distance world record holder for scuba diving. He's also the president of the Bahamas Diving Association. Neil, just what is it about the Bahamas that makes diving there so attractive?
Greg, one of the unique features is our diversity. We're 100,000 square miles, literally 50 miles from the U.S. mainland, whether it's sharks, wrecks, reefs, walls. We have everything that any diver and even a non-diving spouse could ever want for a dive destination.
You can start planning your Bahamas adventure at BahamasDiving.com. The Bahamas, our 700 islands, could change you forever.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Hi, my name is Alexa from South Wales.
Wow, okay.
If you like going down like me,
then here's the man to see. Greg the Dive Master on Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Every time I get high, you want to come down. Every time I want to get down, get down, get down.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to getting down. Now, Hunter, come on over here. Captain Slate's son. is running around. He took one of my business cards and got it wet. You're just trying to stay with the whole diving theme, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. Now when you hear us talk about all the stuff that Neil does with the sharks and your dad does with the eels and the barracudas, how do you feel about this as you get ready to get certified to scuba dive? Are you excited about seeing these animals or what?
Yeah, I'm excited. And I get to see the wrecks under not over the surface now, because now I can go underwater because I'm going to get certified this week.
Yeah, nice. Now, is it one of those things where you've seen your dad on video and TV and pictures and you go, oh my gosh, that looks so cool, I want to do that too?
Not really.
No, okay. That's what my kids say. It's I don't know. It's not cool because dad does it. Is that what you're saying?
Sometimes it's cool, but most of the time, not when you feed the barracudas and stuff. I think that's pretty dumb.
Okay, well, you leave the dumb stuff up to dad, and you'll just watch him.
Yeah, I'd rather dive the wrecks. I'm not really into feeding the barracuda, but I like to see them.
That's right. You like to watch someone else take the risk and risk their life. You just want to observe that. It's kind of like you're watching a NASCAR race, right? And you're watching them not necessarily for the race, but when they wreck.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's good enough. That'll work for me. All right. Yeah.
My mom risked her life with tiger sharks all the time.
Yeah, with tiger sharks, really. Wow. She's a crazy woman.
That's all she could if she's around sharks.
Yeah. She's a little shaky around the sharks?
No, she really likes them, especially the great whites and stuff. She likes some of the photographers that take underwater pictures and stuff.
And all that kind of stuff kind of rubs off, and it makes you want to try or at least watch or get in the water and see what they've been experiencing, right?
Yeah.
What makes them so happy? You figure there must be something to this whole diving thing, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, and my mom's a photographer herself. She takes her own pictures and
get some good stuff, I bet.
Yeah,
huh?
I forget the name. It starts with a mermaid, but
a mermaid. It starts with a mermaid. Well, we have mermaids. Has your dad told you about our mermaids?
Her name.
Mermaid name?
Her Mermaid Productions.
Mermaid Productions?
Yeah.
Oh, they have mermaid shows, do they?
Yeah, and one day I was on the wreck with my mommy, and it was with my dad on the boat, and I was snorkeling over, and I was thinking how cool it was to take pictures and stuff.
You think you might want to marry a mermaid someday? Where there's a will, there's a way? Is that what you're going to say?
So the tails are manatees or mermaids, but I don't believe that. But
manatee? No, our mermaids are definitely not manatees. And if you say that in front of them, they will smack you. I'm just giving you a little tip there, one guy to another, okay?
Yeah, and I was one day on my dad's boat, and she was taking pictures, and I was over, and I thought how cool it was. And this
kind of made you all tingly inside when you saw those mermaids, didn't it?
Yeah.
You'll know what I'm talking about in a couple years. All right, it happened to me about your age, too, for what it's worth. Now, now Debbie here from the History of Diving Museum. Now, once again, the website for this very cool exhibit down there in Isla Mirada is?
Divingmuseum.org.
The hours of operation. Give me just a little bit more rundown for people listening who have not seen this facility down here in the Florida Keys.
Okay, our museum is open every day. We're open from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. And admission is $12 for adults, $6 for children between the ages of 5 and 12. And children under 5 are admitted free. And we also have some discounts online if you check out our website at divingmuseum.org. And it's something that you just don't want to miss. Mile marker 83 in Isla Mirada. Or you can call us at 305-664-9737. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter. We have a History of Diving Museum blog at divingmuseum@blogspot.com. Thank you, Aaron.
Yes. Now, nice. Now, somebody listening too that maybe has some gear or something that they think may have some intrinsic value for the museum, I guess they would just contact you and say, here's what I got, that kind of thing. Is that how some of this stuff starts to pop up for displays as well?
Yeah, we're always looking for people who have interesting artifacts to donate to the museum that can contribute to our collection and continue the story of man's quest to explore under the sea. It doesn't end. It's still ongoing today. And, you know, tonight's been such a privilege to meet with these legends of diving and talk about, you know, how that history has happened and how it continues.
Yeah. Now, are they all as colorful as Captain Slate and Neil Watson? I mean, this is a little bit unique, I guess. But really, all the divers I meet, they're so twisted. I mean, and that's the only...
Yeah,
and I mean that as a compliment.
I'm still waiting for my senior discount. Hello.
let me tell you that in the little over 2 years that I've worked in the diving industry and at the diving museum, I have met the most interesting people, and yes, very colorful people, but all of them have one thing in common, and I think that's just that intrinsic questioning, seeking something different than people have, you know, explored before. Just that whole explorer's heart. And you've got to be an adventurer. I think any diver is an adventurer. And some divers are a lot more adventurous than others, but some of the equipment in the museum, you just go, wow.
Yeah, what's up with you? You have issues. CJ?
Now, by colorful, do you mean that we're sunburned?
Yes. Well, CJ is today, after hanging out on the boat here in the Keys. But yeah, you know, it happens, but it's a fun group of folks, and if you're listening, you're not a diver, now you know what you've been missing. These are the kind of people you can hang around with, and it doesn't get any better than this, does it, Neil?
Well, I can't think. No.
Yeah, it doesn't. No. If you were to die, what would you want to come back as?
Neil Watson.
Okay, that's what I thought. All right, we'll leave it at that. Hey, till next week, remember, it's always better. We're Captain Slate.
When you're a wetter.
No, down where you're wetter.
Down where you're wetter.
Okay. It's always better.
We're not talking our bit.
I love it.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.